Psalm 36, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of Jehovah. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Excuse me. In Psalm 36, we take a break. We've been looking at the life and the service of Jesus in the great covenant of grace. And here for a moment, it was led into by last week when we looked at those who stood against Christ in his life and those who thought they had destroyed him, but they were wrong. We take a turn time now to do something a little different, to look at men rather than to God, to look to men and their role or function in the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. And it starts with a proclamation that this is indeed the word of God, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. We're put on notice that here the psalmist is going to tell us about wickedness, about what it means, about the heart or the sin of those who are wicked. And it begins very first, there is no fear of God before his eyes. Now, most of us know what the beginning of wisdom is. It's the fear of God. And here we see the beginning of transgression and wickedness. There is no fear of God before his eyes. These are people who no longer fear judgment from the great judge. How is it possible? All men are born, and women, all children are born, with the knowledge of the presence of God. We know that from the book of Romans. We know that from other parts in the Bible. How is it that these people have no fear of God before their eyes? Well, this next sentence tells us, or the next paragraph, three verses. For he flatters himself in his own eyes. This is someone who stopped looking out and seeing what's out there, and instead looks at himself as the beginning of all wisdom. Looks at himself to see what is good. And we see here that he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his sin, that's what iniquity means, children. When he finds out his sin and when he hates. He looks at his wickedness and the hatred he has within himself. And instead of saying, this is sin when I measure myself against God, he ignores God and says, since it comes from me, it must be good. And makes himself the standard that he measures by. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise. Children, notice that it doesn't say he never knew to be wise. But again, all people are born with a sense of God. But he has ceased to be wise and stopped being good. He devises wickedness instead on his bed. Now, what would that mean that he devises wickedness on his bed? But that's what consumes his mind when he's lying down, when he's supposed to be sleeping. But more to the point, he does his thinking. He sets his worldview when he's alone and looking into himself. And again, he measures all things by himself. And is in his dark little mind is where all this stuff comes from. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor, children. That means hate or be horrified by evil. So the wicked one, and that's all people apart from the grace of God, stopped looking out and seeing God and measuring themselves against the Holy One of Israel because it hurts. Because if they did that, they'd have to see themselves as wicked sinners, as black-hearted, evil, unlovable people. And so the wicked build a wall around themselves, so to speak, and turn their gaze inward to themselves and start calling good evil and evil good, just as we see in other places in the Bible. Evil's a small thing rather than the greatness we see in God. And that's where we go after this, starting in verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, or O Jehovah, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. And here we see an expansiveness, an outwardness. When we look to God, we see that His greatness fills everything and covers everything. And He is the one who created all these things. And, O Lord, You preserve both man and beast. In Him all creatures have their being. But it's not just His being, His faithfulness, His righteousness, but how precious is Your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of Your house. They drink from the river of Your pleasures, for with You is a fountain of life. And in Your light, we see light. When we know the grace of God, when we're born again of God, and we see His goodness and His greatness, then all these things go to His children, the children of His covenant, those who look to Him for protection. And by Him, we mean Jesus. Those who shelter under the wings of the Messiah and are forgiven their sin because of that. Oh, continue Your loving kindness to those who know You and Your righteousness to the upright in heart. Mercy comes first, but after that, always His righteousness to those who are now upright in heart. And then the last couple verses. Let not the foot of pride come against me, nor let the hand of the wicked drive me away. Now we put together the two things. And those who hate God will hate His people. And you've heard that spoken of many times. So the righteous pray that God will protect us against the wicked. For there the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Now, does this look forward to Jesus? Of course it does. And again, in Him we have all these protections. In Him we see the ultimate rising of the wicked against the holy and trying to put down the image of God on the earth. But those workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down. And so we know that the Messiah was risen again and sin has been paid for. And again, here in the Old Testament, in one of probably, I hate to use the term, but one of the least messianic of the Psalms, we see Christ and we see His covenant. We see His people and His intercession on our behalf, and the promises of the covenant for those whom God has loved and who therefore love God. As we sing 36b, let's look beyond ourselves to God, and let's thank Him for what He's revealed to us and for the new life He's given us so that we may love Him. And we'll sing Psalm 36b.